Hello, Fife fans, and welcome to another edition of Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club, where a few friends get together and have a chat, putting the world to rights. What's the first rule of Fife Club?
Talk about Fife Club.
Yeah, no, we're still not giving you. Yeah. It doesn't matter who's this in the chair.
James's dream comes to life.
Positivity. Yeah.
The only person that actually answers is the person asking.
James will fix it for you.
God, that song's so appropriate.
I was tempted to like run around to someone else's microphone and just start doing a big cheer going, talk about Fife Club.
There's not enough room in our massive studio. In LA.
So yeah, you may have noticed we're missing a body or a particular person, the man who steers the ship, Kutch, who is not with us.
I was about to say the first Fife Club without Kutch, our dear leader, as he makes us call him. Otherwise, he electrocutes our family, which is kind of weird. But you know, you've got to play by the rules.
He's currently at the whim and on standby of a child who may or may not be here by the time we do this podcast.
Is that actually true? Is that actually true, James? Or is he currently in Guantanamo for doing something horrible to cats? All I'm saying is that I heard a rumour that he was found smuggling 3 ounces of catnip up his anus out of Venezuela. No idea what he was going to do with that. That catnip, but
just followed by a massive herd of cats. Yeah.
Pied Piper of Hamelin.
I doubt there's many cats there, but those pigs better watch out in that bay. You will be all over them. All over them.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck the police. That's what you meant, right? And the feds. Yeah. But you're right though, James. We're imminently awaiting the first Fife Club baby.
Yeah.
Shall I say what we're all thinking?
Yeah. That we know of.
Yeah, apart from Jamie, like they call him Jamie Double Baggett Brown because his ability to one of Jamie's ejaculations can actually fire through a Durex extra safe condom in one go, pretty much like a shotgun through a child's head.
I only Double Baggett because I really want to be Dwayne Dibley. I mean, everything else is there.
Yeah, yeah. But no, stay safe, Jamie. Stay safe. Yeah. So I guess what we're all thinking is, so he's ruined his life then, eh?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Goodbye to coming out, eh, Kutch? Yeah. Not coming out like that. But
all those talks at school, did you ever learn anything about that?
Yeah. We had all of these talks about not getting your girlfriend or wife pregnant. Like,
abstinence.
Yeah, pretty sure.
It's the safest bet.
Me too.
I just go with being objectively unattractive to people. That usually works too.
I really did try that.
I added in a little bit of an obnoxious personality to that little that little mix. Oh dear. But by the time you hear this, we might have our little first little Fife Club child soldier.
We've got our Fife Club brand ready for he's born. Everybody knows.
Okay, so speaking of abject unattractiveness and obnoxiousness, we have to go around the table and introduce who you've actually got with you this evening. So, around my good self, James, this evening, much like Dunfermline's fireworks, he's going to be kept away from the heat for the foreseeable future. It's Dave.
Hello.
That's because you're ginger.
Literally, just back.
You're not actually that burnt. That's weird.
Well, after yourself.
Been in Seville for a week and managed to do really well. Charlotte got sunburn.
Get it around you. Right. So, do you think there is a pace to your podcast in the world than this one?
God, no. I'd just like to take this moment on the new, I think it was Nivea advert, where they had a non-ginger telling a ginger about sunblock.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, you've got to put this sunblock, you don't need sunblock. And I was like, that person's a ginger, a non-ginger. This is just completely unrealistic.
Is that racism?
Pretty much.
And next to Dave, much like Dunfermline's Christmas lights, there won't be anyone turning him on anytime soon. It's Mark.
Well, that's pretty harsh, actually. Actually, James. Yeah, no, thanks. Fuck you. Kutch. Okay, Kutch back. That's what we call him.
He refuses to be turned on unless it's Disco Deke doing it. Yeah.
It's okay, Mark. I'm just projecting.
Santa and a reindeer need to be present. Yeah.
They need to watch
Cupid, Comet, Donner, Blitzen.
There needs to be a parade.
And next to Mark, much like select numbers of local businesses, he understands that family fun gets in the way of good profits. Our resident desert island plantation owner, it's Jamie. Oh,
hello, Jamie.
Hello.
Good to see you.
That's accurate.
You're now the longest term podcaster now.
Yeah, you've got. You're on a hot streak. You've not missed a show yet, have you?
No, I guess.
Yeah, you've missed loads.
Frankly, there's been some he's been at where I thought he'd missed that.
Yeah. And there's been a lot where I should have. But, first one ever without cut, actually.
Yes, yeah. The first one ever without cut. Yeah. But like, we should we tell the listeners very quickly that we did try and audition some potential replacements for Kutch.
Yes, tell us.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, what we thought about was who would remind us of Kutch just sitting across there? Who had it? So, you know, we went for lookalikes. So everyone from Dave Grohl to Shaggy, Zoinks, Scoop. Neither of them could make it. So we tried out Teen Wolf and a 1970s porn muff. But again, not with the dry wit we were looking for.
Lois Lane from A New Adventures of Superman is unfortunately under contract as well.
When you said Shaggy, I thought you meant it wasn't me. I was like trying to see the resemblance there, and I was like, that's long.
Yeah. He would be quality as like a host. Great. Yeah. I'm amazed you didn't go with Jesus, because he came in and he was completely scarred after an hour with us.
Yeah, no, shame. He hates the Jesus jokes, James. Cut it. Cut it.
James is writing something down. It's never make Jesus jokes again.
Seriously, he will cut you. Yeah.
I've actually just wrote cut Jesus joke in like four.
What about my Jesus joke later on? Sorry.
Yeah, he died for our sins.
Yeah.
Well, I should probably do the socials.
Yeah, I'm letting go of my responsibilities of this show now. I've introduced you guys. That's as far as I need to go with this one.
If anyone wants to get in touch with our band of reprobates, I suppose there's probably different ways to do that.
Yeah.
There is. And you can do that on Facebook at facebook.com/fiveclubpod or Five Club. Email Ken at fiveclub.co.uk. Website www.fiveclub.co.uk. Instagram Five Club. Twitter at Five Club. Or just fucking Google Five Club.
Yeah,
Google
it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's always a sound way to go, yeah.
And buy our shit on our website.
Fucking do it.
Yeah, get a t-shirt. They're really
buy our
good.
Cool merchandise. We've also got brand new in Five Club baby brands as well.
Yeah, we do.
The baby's got to be our mascot now for Five Club, isn't it?
Well, the brand, I hope so.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going too far with this brand new.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
Just put it in a drawer. Drown out the screaming. It'll be fine. That's how I was raised. Don't do me any harm.
Five Club McCutcheon seems like quite a strong name, though. After
this. Yeah,
that's going to stick.
Five Club Honey Badger McCutcheon.
Yeah. I'm not calling his newborn baby a honey just yet, James. I'll at least give it a few years. Yeah. Sick fuck. Anyway, so speaking of sick fucks, you know who's a bunch of sick fucks? Tories. Oh, what a link. Apparently you can manhandle women nowadays. Aren't you just glad back to the old days when, you know, some female protester comes around and you could just give her a slap, basically.
But Pim, she could have been armed.
She could have been armed, you're right. She could also have had a horse in her back. She could have had hands made of lobster claws, potentially. She could have had Osama bin Laden cut up in a backpack. What else could she have done, realistically?
If she had hands made of lobster claws, and John Peterson would have already been in about that.
Yeah.
He loves lobsters. Like, fucking loves them. He'd have already womanized her. But yeah, so this is about the Mansion House speech.
No one's talking about the speech.
No. Yeah, we're oval.
What's that say about him in this instance? For that?
Big fancy speech every year. Lord Mayor hosts it, doesn't he?
And the Chancellor speaks.
Yeah. Doesn't the Shadow Chancellor usually speak at it as well? I thought they did. No,
I don't know.
I just made that up then. But big fat tons of bankers and hedge fund managers and all that. I think it's about 600 of them. And then, some women came in protesting for climate emergency, Extinction Rebellion. wearing red dresses, so they mingled in with the staff. It was always an inside job.
It's like Mission Impossible.
Yeah. And then, and so a lot of them were just there, and then one of them went a bit further up, and was it Mark Field? No.
Mark Field?
It is Mark Field.
Mark Field MP, yeah.
Yeah, grabbed one by the throat pretty much and manhandled her out of there. And then he claimed that, I was genuinely worried and thought she could be armed.
Yeah. I mean, he has got a point. She could quite conceivably have had a tactical nuclear weapon in her handbag. So, I mean, I think that's perfectly sound logic, don't you?
Yeah,
no, absolutely. Nothing to see here. What a cunt. Why did nobody stand up and give Mark Field an absolute kicking as a result? Like, if I'd seen somebody do that, I would... the opportunity to give Mark Field a snap. I wouldn't really have needed much of an invitation, but, you know, seriously. Like, there's all these people, like, I know there's that bit when something, like, totally out of the ordinary happens and people just sort of look at it in a kind of state of shock and stuff like that, but seriously, what the fuck was he playing at?
I don't even know what's more baffling. It's the fact that either that he's done it or there's been a good number of people that try to defend it.
Yes.
Like, really hard, like, this is the right thing. It's like, all she really did was just walk up, didn't she? It wasn't like, it's not like, was it Bruges when they had the guy that came up onto the stage and pointed a gun at the, I can't remember what it was. It was like a politician was on doing a speech and he ran up and put the gun in his head. And
I think it was in Russia.
Was it Russia? Yeah. And the gun just didn't work.
Yeah.
Luckily, thank God. Yeah. And then like a group of politicians jumped up. That was fine. So I'm okay with that.
I'm fairly certain it was the same room as the flying dildo incident.
Yeah.
Wait a second.
Hold on.
No, that's what I refer to it as. No, it's this Sunday. No, I didn't actually know anything about this. As I say, I've been on holiday. I just managed to kind of disconnect myself from everything that's been going on because I'm sick of the same headlines all the time. Tories are cunts. Yeah, I get it. And it was like, when this kind of came about in the chat and I was reading more about it, it was just like the thought of if somebody was to actually run in and attack someone or show some sort of bit of maybe going to attack them, and it's like, get rid of them, security, get rid of them. But the fact that it's like a woman who stood up and protested and just grabbed her by the neck.
Yeah.
Yeah, he deserves to have his head kicked.
I think it's telling as well that, you know, Philip Hammond's special branch protection officers didn't, you know, because they were nowhere near him and they were like, oh, it's a peaceful protest, so.
Yeah, they also probably thought, yes, maybe you'll get killed.
That would be a great sequel to Bodyguard. Bodyguard season two.
Yeah, we've just given up, actually.
Dad on like, me.
It's really boring. Like, terrible tips at Christmas.
Yeah. He just gives us a spreadsheet at Christmas.
But I mean, like, you've got to look at it on the other side, like, totally spurious protest as well. That woman's protesting about climate change. I mean, who thinks climate change is real, right? Am I right? Am I right? 12 years to save the planet from collapsing into a giant fireball eviscerating all life. Yeah. Yeah. Pretty down with that. Good.
Although it is at the stage now where if I'm sat in a bar and someone gives me a plastic straw, I will make a joke about a turtle. I know I shouldn't do it.
They shouldn't use them to snort cocaine and they would get them stuck up their nose.
That's what happened to Raphael, guys.
Oh, he was always a bad boy. He used to take it off of his side. Yeah.
That time when he went off to like find himself to be a leader, rehab. Constantly.
That wasn't a red bandana, it's just his eyes.
That's why he was so angry all the time.
Yeah, that's what he could face.
Let's get him!
Doing a line off of April's.
Turtle power.
My word.
Wow.
I heard it was told a backstage story years ago about Keith Flint. And the first time I ever met him, he was doing like a line off of a girl's tits. And he's like, oh, hello, nice to meet you. That's this guy. R.I.P. But we've also had with the Tories, so we've had the final two selected for the leadership race.
Oh,
so now it's down to Jeremy Hunt, in brackets cunt, and Boris Johnson. And it seems that...
cunt.
Yeah. So it seems that Boris Johnson, some of his supporters might have lent some votes to Jeremy Hunt to get him a few votes ahead of Michael Gove, because he'd prefer to face Jeremy Hunt than Michael Gove.
Who he considers to be a less good debater.
Yeah. Especially, I think actually Jeremy Hunt would have a better chance with the public, but with the Tory membership,
mm-hmm.
you know, you don't want to go up against Michael Gove,
yeah,
because he's a sort of like Tory member made from Play-Doh.
he's also very Machiavellian as well.
He
loves to play the little games and things like that.
Yeah, he's, I have to say, like, Gove's speech giving, like, I can't stand the cunt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's like that name is pretty much like a sub name to every single Tory. Cunt.
Mm.
But yeah, like, watching Michael Gove give speeches, he actually like catches up with what's going on, gets like, his speechwriters are obviously fantastic, but he's not. He's just a total bell end. And now it's down to the point of like, who do you want in charge of the country? You've either got some buffoon that I actually thought was a comedy character.
That's what have
that
I got news to you like?
Yeah, that was exactly it, yeah. Or fucking Jeremy Hunt, who's managed to single-handedly tear the economy apart. Well done, mate. So it's like,
Does that not just show how scary a person Boris Johnson actually is? Like, for the longest time, we actually took him as like just a silly, silly person. And he has very much wisely and cunningly schemed his way to the top of politics. And almost overnight, like, this whole Brexit thing was the launch pad that took him up to this point today.
He just required, like, for him, it was about anything that could catapult him.
Yeah.
Like, if being a really strong Remainer would have got him into Downing Street, he would have done that. He would just do absolutely anything to get there. And it's like, I don't know if, you know, I'm not obviously a massive Tory, but like, to me, this is the greatest failing of like our political system at the moment. Is somebody who has, to my mind, a failure as a record as a London mayor, a failure as a record, like the worst foreign secretary that there has ever been, certainly in my lifetime, probably ever.
Yeah.
Anything he did diplomatically, he got wrong and made worse.
Did you watch that documentary?
Yeah.
It was disturbing.
They would say, do not speak French, it's insulting. He would speak French.
Yeah.
He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know the capital. He made up spurious facts about places that just didn't exist.
And then this was a documentary where they're showing like inside the Foreign Office and the consular service and everything. Well, and, you know, they seem to be, and then Boris Johnson just turns up and everything goes to shit. And he's getting briefed and he's like trying to disagree with the brief.
Yeah.
What are you doing? This is an expert who's like lived here for years. And
The head of this desk who knows this policy inside out. And you're trying to disagree with them, despite the fact you're a buffoon. But it's like, this is the failure of British society in that somebody who has, for my mind, no discernible talent, pretty questionable moral fabric, has managed through dint of basically being rich and being well known, is going to rise to the position of Prime Minister.
And this is why it's interesting with so it's just a couple of days after the story broke in The Guardian, where a neighbour heard shouting and screaming and heard, you know, recorded it, went around, knocked first, no one answered, recorded it, heard shouts of, get off me, get out of my flat, which is worrying, reported it to police. Police went round, said both were okay, and it was just an argument. And, you know, maybe it was, and it probably was. Let's be, you know, there's no real evidence of domestic violence. But I think, first of all, you've seen it affect the polls, especially nationally, Tory membership a bit, but mostly nationally, about Boris Johnson. But what, you know, what's interesting is most gaffes and most horrific things he does, like he says racist things, he says, you know, homophobic things, he says all these things. He just apologises for him and no one cares about it again. They just go off and like waters off a duck's back. Whereas this seems to be the first thing where people are where it's actually sticking to him. And it's almost like now he's running for Prime Minister, people are actually taking it seriously, you know.
You'd hope so, but still, even with that, like, I was watching his kind of first opening speech where he was, you know, running to be Tory leader. Which is a horrible thought. But it's the comments that were coming up at the bottom of it is a Facebook live stream, and people were like, oh, Boris is a legend and all this sort of stuff. And it's like, no, like, really, this is a fucking seriously damaging thing for the country. Like, if he gets in charge, we're absolutely fucked.
And I think he has a strong power to... I think Tory membership will... As long as he doesn't do anything else that's completely mental during this campaign, I think they'll choose him because although Jeremy Hunt is probably a lot of the country would prefer him. He's not going to defeat the Brexit party, is he?
No.
Compared to Boris Johnson. And Boris Johnson can also, like what you're saying, Dave, I think he can reach people who aren't usually that interested in politics and just go, because, oh, I'd like to have a pint with him.
Yeah, just because they know him, they recognise him. So it's just voting like for someone you know.
He seems like a sort of, you know, a little bit of a posh boy who's a bit of a laugh, you know, if you went for a pint with him.
Have a couple of lines.
April O'Neil.
Instead of Raphael going for it.
He does surround himself with very smart people quite a lot of the time as well. So, I mean, there's always that point about, you know, he might be the total buffoon, but there will be probably quite clever people working with him as well. I just, unfortunately, he's being influenced by people that I'm concerned about, people like Crosby, Texter, what do you call him?
Stills and Nash.
Yeah. I forgot what they're, Crosby Texter, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's,
Lytton Crosby's PR company, and also Steve just been, Bannon as well.
Yeah. Who've just been bragging in the States that, oh, we're pretty much going to have access to, we're going to pretty much run Brexit so it'll work well for American companies and things.
Yeah.
Just came out. I was just reading it just before I left. Oh, bloody hell.
Well, so, I mean, it's as well, because like, when I was on holiday, we got a bit of time in the pool, a bit of chlorine in the mouth. Kind of got used to the taste.
Now you want your fajita to taste exactly the same.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. I just think the thing that, like more than anything else, the thing that's just disturbed me is just how much people will defend other people for shocking instances because of their political beliefs. It's like, we've got to this point where if you support one particular party, you can put up with absolutely anything that they do.
It's very American.
It's very American. It's like really, I think that's really depressing in a lot of ways. Like that thing, like, with the Johnson argument or the Mark Field situation as well. It's like, no matter what they do, and those are objectively bad things that these people have done, and they should probably answer to a certain extent, you know, one more so than the other, obviously, but they should be made to answer that. And then there are people like, just will be happily defend them, ignore it, not consider it in any way limiting to their choice for them as Prime Minister or something like that. It's just utterly baffling and depressing.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys, really, got depressed.
No, it's fair. I just, I mean, on top of this, we've also got, so there was a poll that came out today in, was it Sunday Times, I think, that said that if Boris Johnson becomes Prime Minister, then I think it was 53% of people likely to vote, excluding don't knows, I'd assume, would back Scottish independence. Now, the thing is that, like, everybody's like, oh, shit, oh, we want Boris to become PM now so we get independence. First of all, independence has been ahead hypothetically before. It's not the way you win elections or referendums.
Mm-hmm.
What I think was more interesting was that it was from panel base, who used to be pro, quite a pro-yes poster, but in the last, like, since the referendum, they've been more of a, an anti, like, along with YouGov, probably more accurate, but an anti-yes sort of poster, in a good way, you know. But they had, even without that, they had support for independence at 49%, which was interesting. And also, there was a poll of Welsh independence, got 40, was it 41, 42 or something?
Yeah, Welsh independence is coming, guys.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
why, though? I mean, what have they got?
cheese on toast, mate.
Rare bits banging.
You know what would be amazing, right? If, like, on the same day, Scotland, Wales and Republic of Ireland, Northern Ireland, sorry, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland had, like, the same referendum on the same day, and the results came out at the same time. Could you imagine if it just a whole... I'm just putting this as, like, a dream scenario of everyone just voted independence, right, and kicked them on the same day. It's like, bye.
There was an episode of Star Trek, Next Generation, where Data says something about the reunification of Ireland in 2020, I think it's 2021 or something. And I read that was banned from UK broadcast. I don't think it was. I'm pretty sure I saw this when I was a kid, because I remember going, ho-ho! And
spicy!
Yeah. But yeah, it's like, is that entirely unbelievable if Brexit completely fucks up?
Was that the one where Data was singing Ooh Ah Up the Ra?
He does love that.
And the Chief O'Brien, getting
the banjos out, giving it the full Wolf Tones collection dance. Yeah.
I just feel so well equipped to talk about the reunification of Ireland, but the clear the absolute mentalist that is Chief O'Brien, completely qualified to talk about. All he cares about is darts and killing cardies. Darts.
Yeah, so we might as well move on from one set of bad decisions to another set of bad decisions. This week,
welcome to Five Club.
Yeah,
Five
Club. Yeah.
Why did none of our fathers pull out?
Or maybe they did, and they only pulled out. You know, no other contraception involved.
Yeah, yeah.
Should have double bagged.
Yeah,
should have double bagged.
They were too sharp shooting for their own good. Yeah, so much like some of the happiness of people, we're not allowed to be happy on this podcast right now because Dunfermline delivers.
Doesn't.
Doesn't.
Absolutely doesn't.
Yeah,
so I'm going to say, guys, I didn't know how this whole thing worked. Maybe it's a well-known thing. I've just been away for a while.
Am I right in saying that the way they voted this is the same way that American elections work for
pretty
president?
Much, yeah. They've done it by size of business. So it's basically all the businesses, it turns out, vote for... They enter into a ballot, and what they do is they basically vote for who runs the... Well, delivery of Dunfermline.
Yeah,
right. Okay.
The events in the town and what happens in the town, including like anything to do with like business decisions and all that sort of stuff as well. So Dunfermline delivers has run that since.
Oh,
I don't know,
good for years.
2000 canteen. I'm not too sure.
Mm-hmm.
I know very little about this, but I know that they have consistently for the last few years certainly been very prominent on social media, promoting different things that they've had going on, different mm-hmm. events, different. Fireworks,
yeah.
Christmas light switch on, out with festival, all that sort of stuff.
Comic Con, they had a part in the Comic Con. Dunfermline got the purple flag through Dunfermline Delivers as well.
Yeah, what is the purple flag?
Yeah. It's sort
the
of like
purple flag.
Big purple flag. It's like an award, you know. They do
does,
like
that, does the Phantom come to visit your town?
That'd be quality. But no, like the purple flag is...
Billy Zane is a Phantom.
But the purple flag is supposed to like be a award for like promoting like the nightlife of Dunfermline from like 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. I think it was. So like things like wine, like foods, culture,
fighting outside,
Istanbul. The guys that do the betting. Yeah.
Let's be clear right now. Dunfermline does not like deserve that flag.
Right. Ever since the ballroom closed.
That was it. Right. Revolt. Yeah, so that, and then there's like the safe zone where they do the pastors in the middle of like pretty much right next to Lorenzo's, isn't it?
They're fucking useless. I saw them. Right. I came across them once.
Oh, right. Shit.
Standing around someone who was like pretty much choking themselves to death, and they were just standing around. And I was like, shouldn't you put him in the recovery position? They were like, the what? And I was like, okay.
And they were like, well, thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, let's be fair.
Let's give him a pair of sandals. It looks like his feet are sore.
Get a silver blanket on him, quick.
Yeah, but like, I'm nothing but fair, right? But let's be fair here. If you're going on a club night in Dunfermline, you're beyond saving anyway. So what's the point?
Yeah, this is true. You're also expecting a pint in a fight.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what part of it was, though.
It's part of the culture. They sold it as that.
I was thinking about this whole thing with Dunfermline Delivers. Now, there's like, ever since I was a kid, there's been the fireworks. Display, mm-hmm. which was cancelled last year for the first time in ever. I think,
yeah. Really. Well, there's been. I think there's been a few times.
Wait,
it's been
was it not
off,
on last year?
No, it was cancelled. Remember?
We went to the pub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Because it got rained off. It was.
Oh yeah. It wasn't. It was cancelled. It wasn't like.
It was.
Yeah.
Weather.
Yeah.
Because a bit of wind. And then there was Christmas lights, that's been getting switched on forever. The gala as well, it's another big thing that's happened every year and just happened yesterday.
Yeah, just happened yesterday.
And they were talking about like the whole idea behind the gala this year was it was all based on the future. So it's like, what will be in the future? And Dunfermline's just going to be like tumbleweed, peacock, and disco deek. That's it.
Yeah. Sounds pretty sick to me.
You're just like deep adventure in the wastelands of Dunfermline, like the big beard,
slaughtering
with two
peacocks.
Bottles of juice. Still, you'll still have a bag with two bottles of juice still cutting about with them, though. But you'll fight you for them.
It's going to be like a Fife version of Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
Yeah.
That'll be it. The Thunderdome's the peacock cage in the glen. Work.
So they lost on like the rateable value vote. Which,
exactly that. Yeah. Which more businesses voted for them?
Yeah.
So it was like 99-41.
Yeah, it was a massive majority.
So 99 people voted in favour of Dunfermline Delivers staying on, and 41 voted against it. And the 41 businesses that voted against it were bigger businesses.
Mm.
So it means that the value of business voting against it was more.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean.
For it. So it means that technically democracy failed.
Yeah.
But in a business sense, didn't. So it'd be interesting.
It's very much an old land ownership democracy.
Oh,
it's
absolutely. Like, yeah. It'd be interesting to see what the sort of.
It's weird though, because like a lot of those events are quite good for businesses. You imagine, like the Outwood Festival is going to bring a lot of people and a lot of businesses into local business. Lot of business into places.
Thing
like
is,
pubs,
they are.
Stores.
Like, I don't think fireworks does much.
No, they're at night. So like most places are closed unless you're like a pub and a restaurant. Like you know, that's those night times events and people still will march out and go for drinks, go for food. They'll go see stuff afterwards. The Christmas lights are a big thing as well.
The Christmas lights are really big, actually. Yeah. Last year, I was surprised. They had those giant, freaky walking things. Yeah. Was that last year or the year before? Can't remember.
All I remember is it was really tough for me to get to the pub because there's tons of kids in
there. Yeah,
like, the amount of people that go to these events speaks for itself. Like,
yeah.
Surely you'd be looking at it going, yeah, you can make a bit of money off of that massive turnout.
Yeah. Well, that's even the like the fireworks especially. There's always thousands of people in the Glen. Like it, well, even for the Glen to repair itself, it takes about a year.
Yeah,
but it used to be. I remember the High Street used to stay open later for people that were heading in and all that sort of stuff. So it did seem to kind of pick up a bit in the business side of things. But it seems that some of the festivals and the like that have been getting run in Dunfermline have been kind of shite. Because there's like the Outwood Festival, there's a couple of events in there that are quite good, and some of them it was like,
I don't know, I quite like the Outwood Festival.
Yeah,
I'm gonna disagree with you. I quite like it. Like,
it's got Idlewild coming this year.
It's got Idlewild.
Well, it was, it's not been pulled. It's not the festival not been pulled.
No, it's gonna be on this year.
Yeah. It's the sort of thing though,
the food festival that got pulled, wasn't it?
It's things like Outwood where I'd hope that maybe some pubs in that could get together and organise it. It's essentially Tiger Fest.
Yeah.
It's not just music, it's art and stuff as well, isn't it?
Tiger Fest used to be quality. I remember that.
Yeah, it's essentially the same idea. It's an armband. Aye. Like 20 quid or whatever.
And and then you just go around different places.
Anything.
Yeah. This is a great idea.
Yeah. Really good.
Maybe it's not out with them thinking.
I had a great day with you at Tiger Fest years ago, which just got absolutely smashed.
That was great.
Go to watch that. Yeah.
Fun for all the kids.
I remember going to see there was like an orchestra that was playing in the Glen, and it was supposed to be like playing like classics and stuff.
Oh, is that the brass band? Yeah.
So it was like a full brass band orchestra that was playing. So I was expecting something like spectacular, being in a like, bit of Vivaldi or whatever. Mm. I was like, yeah, that's going to be a bit of culture. And as we walked into the Glen, Ricky Martin, Living La Vida Loca, blast. And it was not just like with the band playing it, because even that would be fine.
It's like
a bit
speakers.
Of brass melody. Nah, it was some guy who was not Ricky Martin.
Oh, no.
La Vida Loca. So
did he at least have an ice cube going down his shirt and then like some candle wax? Oh, no, wait. Is that Ricky Martin?
No.
It's a different song.
That's a human sacrifice.
It's a different song. It's a different song. There's a video where he gets like...
Solstice.
There's a video where he's like, Midsummer. It's going to annoy me what video it is. It might be that annoying guy... who's the guy?
Kaj.
I would love to see you cry. That guy.
Oh, Enrique Iglesias.
It might be Enrique Iglesias I'm thinking
Enrique,
of.
Enrique, yeah.
Yeah.
Might well be. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. It's just a shame.
I'm interested to see what happens then.
Yeah, because what is the follow-up? Does some other company won then?
No, they just, it was for them doing it.
So you're voting somebody out, it's like...
They pay an amount of, I'm not sure if it's of the rates or if it's just a straight donation, but I think it's an amount of the rates or something goes towards it.
Right.
I think. I might be wrong about that.
I always thought it was like the sort of way that Creative Scotland do it, where like you have like a budget, and then that gets divvied up over a certain like group of companies. So they vote for who gets a bigger share, and it works down the list until you don't have anything left.
I've heard mixed things from shop owners on Dunfermline Delivers. They've been like, I like the wee... flowers and that they put around town, and they do these events, but I can understand if you're a business and you're like, well, fireworks does F all for me because I'm closed, and Outwith Festival works for pubs, but does it work much for other places? Probably not. And so I can understand it from both sides, but at the same time, they're good events and things like that. And
it just seems to be that the way that they were kind of doing these events was getting quite stale. It was like the same sort of ideas and the same sort of thing that was happening all the time. So it would be interesting to see, because, first off, it'd be interesting to see what Dunfermline Delivers is going to do next, because it's quite a... you know, it's quite,
it's going to go rogue, mate.
It's quite. It's going to go rogue.
It's
going to go
rogue, title, isn't it?
It's going to go rogue and take revenge on all the businesses that voted against it.
Either that, or they're just going to completely break down and just go into the pizza delivery trail.
That's it. It's gone off grid.
All right, mate. I'm working for the Wild Lamb today. Dunfermline delivers.
Four hours late. But I mean, it's the thought of what will actually happen then. So it's like they're saying there's not going to be a Christmas light switch on, so I wonder if there will still be Christmas lights.
Yeah.
Or there's no fireworks display.
Well, so we almost had no Christmas lights 1 year, and Trondheim, our twin town, like donated them to us, which was really sound.
Oh, right, yeah.
And, like, I think the tree as well. They've got tons of them in Norway. But I remember because I was a student at the time, and I said something about it to the Daily Politics, and they only read out half my thing, so it sounded like I was being, like, flipping about, and Alex Salmond read it out and was, they made this so bad, and now my name's attached to it. Just give me a fucking mug. Andrew Neil, you dick.
Yeah. It turns out that you're the mug, Jamie.
I mean, but what does that make Dunfermline look, though? Because, like, these are sort of, like, they're basic events, and you think, like, putting on Christmas lights, fireworks, everywhere does. I'm like, Perth, Aberdeen.
Fordell's always, well, I don't know if they still do it, but they used to have a decent fireworks display, but it's on a smaller scale, and they have a bonfire.
That bonfire's always backing.
Yeah.
but making, like, Dunfermline look like a town you want to go to, because this is the central part of, like, Dunfermline's area of Fife, and because it's Dunfermline, obviously. But, like, why would anyone want to come? There's obviously shops, but everywhere's got shops. You know,
everyone's got the same shops.
Yeah, everyone's got the same shops.
Everyone's got 19 bookies and 14 charity shops.
I think this is the problem, though, is that, like, people are like, oh, we'll fix structural problems in the economy with these events. And it's like, the events can help a bit, but they're not going to solve underlying problems.
You need to get rid of the internet. If you get rid of the internet, then sort it.
I think that's what the porn ban's all about. I think that's the first step. That's like 80% of the internet. Gone. Yep. The porn block.
Yeah. See, the moment you ban Amazon, everything's going to go back to how it was before. Do you ever used to speak to your neighbours in that?
You have to, like, awkwardly go pick up a package, and it was like, hey, did you get...
Totally. Yeah, you dread it. You're not...
Yeah, mate.
Fuck. I did that recently.
You get that card, and you're just like, for fuck's sake.
I went to my neighbour's door with that card and tried to give them the card. And as they did it, they were like, don't you need the card? And I was like, do you not? Oh, you don't. Just that moment of, oh, yeah, I need to speak to you like a human.
Don't worry, Tim. Here's your double-ended diesel-powered dildo. Delivered earlier today,
Oh, well, I remember. Just a brief update. Between me, Kutch and Ralph, we did go for that bottle of Daffmil in the end.
Yay.
And we decided not to sell it, but we can't drink it because someone has to stay sober in case her wife goes into labour.
Oh, what a dick.
Yeah. And I'd feel bad for opening without him. But star based on a certain time limit. It takes too long. Cut's gonna fucking do it.
I'm sure he probably signed a waiver that said that there was a certain time limit.
Pretty much. Just being a human being.
Yeah.
So but the thing is,
a time limit on how long someone can be pregnant for as well.
That's true. Yeah, that is true. Yeah. But so we couldn't bring ourselves to sell it. However, the thing is, one's already gone up, so it's like £145. One's already up online for like 400 and something. So it's like, oh God. So the longer we wait, the more we're going to be tempted to sell it, which we're not going to do because we're not dickheads, but it's going to get more and more tempting.
Oh, I'd sell the shit out of that.
Oh, don't.
Think of really, all the other whiskeys you could buy as well.
Just now, but,
we went through that on a previous podcast, but just a quick... It's quite a tall bottle, and I kind of touched it with my forearm very gently, and it wobbled a lot, so I was like, oh shit. So I put it back in its bubble wrap thing, back in its box, in between my wall and my bloody drawers, just so it doesn't fall over.
You want to try and keep that in mint condition.
Did you write that down, Dave?
I've gone.
He can't drink whiskey anymore. I'll sell it.
Oh, no. I'd spend all the proceeds on caipirinhas. Like, I'd be a happy man.
Right. Well, that new pub in the town does caipirinhas.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, the Fox and Dingy.
If I had any money, I'd go back in there.
Yeah.
It's worth a visit. It's nice.
Yeah, we should definitely go.
And it was all right, I think. Yeah.
When wetting the baby's heat for Kutch, we can go there.
Aye.
So, I got some evils from the silent producer. For,
oh, yeah.
Talking about this every night.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. Kutch will stay in for like a whole year.
Well, speaking of staying in and all that sort of stuff, my brother Tony had a boy a wee while ago, a couple of years ago, I'd say.
Glad you noticed.
I've seen him a few times, he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
But my brother last night met up with his best mate from high school, Richard, and between them they polished off gin, red wine, whiskey, smashed through the whole lot, and then I got the news from my dad today, my brother broke the bathroom sink in his own ensuite, which I find absolutely fantastic, just by falling into it.
So, yeah. Where the fuck did he fall from? Did he?
He is massive.
Was he fighting an agent like in The Matrix when he gets smashed through the sink?
He might have caught up to his wife, but I think she was still raging.
It just jumped through the wall at the same time. Yeah.
But I just, that amused me, sorry.
No.
Shall we nip onto our final topic of the, just a very quick one, actually. Yeah. We're not known for being a sports cast here. Guys, you know, some of us like sports, but and different sports, actually, as well. You love a good egg and spoon race, Dave.
My favourite.
My nephew was complaining because we didn't do a sack race at his school open day. So he won a lot of the things, and then he came second in another thing because someone's dad cheated.
Oh, and then outrageous.
And then they didn't do a sack race and he was absolutely raging. Because he loves the sack race. God, he does. I don't know where he gets those jeans from because I was terrible. All sports.
But what I was going to say, guys, is any of you watched any of the Women's World Cup that's been on?
Yeah, I watched a bit of it. It's pretty good.
I think it's been brilliant, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, particularly... Well, I say it was brilliant. I watched Scotland go out the other night.
That was...
And it was...
It was hard.
It was hard. I mean, probably fairly so, I think, probably. Well, no, there is a decision which is wrong, which is the part where there were substitutions happening and somebody wasn't on the pitch. Yeah. So that goal should not
And the decision after... Like, there was not enough extra time.
Although I suspect that if there had been extra time, Argentina would have scored. In some ways. But no, I think it's been brilliant. I've been listening to like a lot of people talking about it on Twitter and things, and about why people are enjoying it so much. I mean, obviously there's lots of birds playing football, shit. They're not as good as men, shit, and all that kind of stuff. And you're just like, oh, for fuck's sake, just piss off. But like a lot of people are actually taking it quite serious. Like the level of technical standard and things like that is exceptionally high these days. The only thing where it's a bit lacking probably is in goalkeeping, but that's pretty natural because nobody wants to be a goalkeeper.
Defense is different probably as well, because people are like running in to like stop the ball and stuff, and it's not stuff, you know, it's less formation sort of defense. Yeah. I know nothing about football.
It's great for like a neutral though, because like that lends itself to absolute bangers of goals.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Beauties of goals that go in.
Yeah. I just watched England Cameroon before it came out.
Yeah.
I think it was 3-0. Can't remember.
3-0.
But again, do you know what's been really bad at this tournament is the officiating.
Oh yeah.
It's been god awful. And the VAR stuff, again, was VAR constantly in this.
Yeah.
It's like, why aren't they using it? Like, I think VAR's actually in the men's game has been used quite well.
It's been okay. But this tournament's changed.
Terrible. Right. And like, every single decision, they're like, oh, we'll go to VAR, and it'll take like, instead of taking like 1 minute to check it and it's done, it's like, oh, we'll take like 3 to 5 minutes. Yeah, it's just destroying the flow of the game.
It's a weird rule that like when it comes to a VAR incident, they play the game on and then they call it back and the next stop of play.
It's really weird.
I don't think it's happened in the women's game, but it did happen. I think it was it wasn't Scotland, but it was an international game a few weeks ago Portugal. So they conceded a penalty, but then earlier on, they had a case for having a penalty. So they conceded the penalty, but because Switzerland had actually filled in their box beforehand, uh-huh. it actually went back to Portugal and they got the penalty. Yeah, it's a really weird rule.
It really disturbs the flow of the game. I was always about like VAR would clear things up. But actually the more I see it and the point you're making, it's sort of officials are using it as a crutch.
Yeah.
And I think that happened in rugby too much. Like with the TMO.
It does.
Like there's sometimes when there's just obvious tries and the referee won't call it anymore. They'll go to the TMO to just check.
And you have advantages and you have like, I mean, you sort of get advantages in football as well. But like rugby rules, it makes even less sense because it's more like, well, I've remembered that has happened and maybe that was a bit iffy, so I'll be a bit more lenient on what happens. It's not so hard and fast. Everything has to be, you know, decided as it is in football. It makes even less sense in rugby. They do use it far too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, totally. I think the VAR stuff has actually probably been the one down point. But other than that, like the level of quality, the screaming goals and everything like that, would be brilliant.
Should have seen this ref today. She was awful. She didn't have any control. And then she literally got like pushed over by a Cameroonian and didn't do anything.
I haven't seen. I'll tell you.
I mean, it wasn't pushed over. It was someone trying to make a play, but she wasn't in the way, and she didn't get pushed over to her hands and knees. But she pushed her, and it's like, holy crap! Like, why is she still on the pitch? It was absolutely. But otherwise, I've been really enjoying it, and it's been absolutely brilliant.
And I think one of the reasons why is it's because it's like there is that like spirit of like elite sport, but without that like hefty level of sort of. Like commercialization, and the fact that you know it's
it still
not
feels like a grassroots sort of game, but high level, like,
in a good way. It's like people, like even the players, like this is the pinnacle of their careers.
Yeah.
Whereas for men's football at the moment, like the pinnacle of your career is a Champions League game rather than a World Cup these days, and that just sort of. And a lot of players go into World Cups tired or injured and all that kind of thing. You don't get the best. Whereas these guys, they're absolutely out there.
It seems to be that the ego's gone as well, which is quite nice. There's no one that's like bigging themselves up as being like fucking Neymar in the World Cup, where he's just been on a show of diving and falling over, which actually cost Brazil.
Very little diving in this tournament. Very little. Compared to usual, you know, even from the countries where you'd expect diving, there's very little at all.
I'll tell you how much it's become a serious sport to me. So when I was watching that little bit of England earlier on, I wanted them to lose. Like, and that tells you that it's, for me, like, it's gone into the level of, like, elite sport for me, and my level of support is if I want England to lose.
I wouldn't mind England. I don't mind. I would want England to lose unless it's against maybe the USA. And then I go, oh, actually, that's a tough one. I don't know.
Can they both lose? Can you get a draw?
Well, who's the favourite? So probably USA.
Yeah, USA.
Then
USA,
Germany and France. And then maybe England?
Well, no, I think England, France were the touted favourites before going in. USA are usually about there. Australia were getting talked about. I don't know where Australia. I think they got knocked out.
They just got knocked out by Norway.
USA are the current holders, aren't they?
Well, we'll finish off our little sporting section with this very quick nugget of news just in. Andy Murray's won doubles at Queen's.
Hey!
What a brilliant comeback for Andy Murray.
Not bad for retiring.
I know, exactly. Yeah, he's done all right.
Has he found a partner yet for Wimbledon?
I don't know.
How fucking weird is that? Like, a week out from Wimbledon?
Yeah, well,
he quite often does this when he does it. He's quite often like...
We tried to get... Barty to partner him, but she's been playing incredibly well, so in singles, so she has a good chance in that. So I don't know, because I think he wants to play mixed doubles.
Yeah.
But if he didn't, if he played men's doubles, like that's a good argument for Feliciano Lopez playing again.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll play Eastbourne though, Lopez, because he's just won the singles and the doubles at Queen's.
Is he just
what a lad?
He's just doing this to fuck off his brother.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Come on, Jimmy, you dick.
So I'm coming for you.
But I hope he gets back.
Yeah, good on
him. Totally.
So, it's that time where we're going to go to the island. So, Mark, do you want to take us in?
You're listening to BBC Radio 4. It's that time once again when we visit the desert island of Dex.
So we're back here again on the island. How the fuck did we get here this time?
Horses.
Horses. Horses. Horses. A band of horses.
You get seahorses. Don't fuck with me.
Infinite seahorses.
Yeah. Yep.
That makes sense.
That'll do.
Perfect. Yeah, so, much like Dunfermline now, the island has become a bit of a boring place to be. We need to liven things up a bit. So, we thought we should bring some events over to the island. Who would like to... I don't know how to introduce this stuff. Kutch does it all the time. Like... Is this how we do it? We just like...
You haven't written anything. Oh, no. Just like Kutch.
Yeah. That's like that moment after sex where you go, is that good for you? Is that all right?
are you done?
Are you done? Because I'm done and I really need a pee.
I don't have to do that payment because I know that it wasn't good for me.
Yeah.
They admire your consistency.
If not my lack of rhythm.
You just work at a Dave Brubeck beat, Jamie. That's all. You just got to find the right woman.
Yeah. What do you mean you don't know 5'8"?
No. Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to bring some events to the island to try and liven things up and bring some tourism and business over to our island. Who would like to start?
Well, I've wrote one down, so I'll go first. Basically, I was thinking what we could do is get together on the 2nd of November. We'll get together, crack out the trumpets, get out in the streets with flowers galore to cover up the unbearable stench of the victims left behind by the honey badger, Hannibal Lecter, Freddy Krueger, etc, etc. Basically, it's Dia de los Muertos! So... Day of the Dead, where we can mourn the loss of all culture in Dunfermline, because my thought was, right, Abbott House is gone. All the events are gone, and even our public toilets are being turned into restaurants. So,
which was my idea first, guys.
It was.
Didn't you even say pizzeria as well?
Yeah.
And it's going to be a pizzeria.
Fucking hell. I know.
Someone's listening to this podcast.
Yeah, someone's listening to this, nicking my ideas. By the way, that's a fucking fee, by the way.
So that's my thought was, it's fucked and I'm going to dance in its grave.
Plus we get to wear like funky face paint and things like that.
Aye, yeah.
That's quite good. Yeah. But there was a little point with Halloween where you went to a party and everyone had Dia de los Muertos mask. Yeah. You're just like, yeah, all right, it was cool the first time, but bored with this. Get back to wearing sexy cat costumes.
Guys.
Said cat.
I can't fit into my sexy cat costume, but I think that just makes it sexier. Yeah. Bursting through.
I'm a lion.
But you do have to watch out for Hansi Kutch. He loves a cat.
Yeah, he does. Does
I could have gone for a bluer joke, fair listeners. You know I could have.
Yeah,
but I didn't, to leave it in your mind where you make the joke.
Well done.
Yeah.
I expect that.
Yeah.
Put together.
So a Day of the Dead, eh?
Yeah, Day of the Dead. I thought, you know, because...
Like nice mariachi band and stuff like that.
Well, at least once a year, this place can be fucking happy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's grey and shit otherwise. Although the island's quite colourful.
Isn't that any day in the Kingsgate Centre?
Certainly looks that way. That's Day of the Dead.
Yeah.
Dawn of the Dead. So that was my thought, was get the flowers out, get a bit of trumpets in the go, just celebrate what we had before.
No, it makes absolute sense. There has been a lot of death on the island as well.
There really has been. The honey badger Pamplona was...
It went well this year. It was a successful year.
So it's a lot of graves. A lot of shallow graves.
Why doesn't Dunfermline start doing Pamplonas? Yeah. Honey badger Pamplonas.
I thought you were going to say junkie Pamplonas.
Well,
JK Pamplona.
Just running up the bus station. Run.
Sitting on the front of the 19 bus with a fishing rod and with a bit of heroin on the butt, make them run afterwards. Oh crikey! Yeah,
that's like an old stairwell.
Yeah. Which was my old stairwell.
Exactly.
Yeah, it really does.
They're the same person.
That sounds good.
Is that the same? Is that the kind of the same as? I'm going to ask a really stupid question, but is Day of the Dead the same as like Mardi Gras type stuff? I know Mardi Gras is there's the pancakey shit, but
Mardi Gras is separate. That's more a celebration of life.
I think so.
Well, this is a celebration of people who have died, the lives of the people who have died.
Yeah.
But it's got the same sort of trumpets and sort of shit vibe going on.
It's more like, it's less, it's different. It's,
or am I thinking of Cinco de Mayo? Cinco de Cuatro.
So if we had Cinco de Mayo, I mean, we could have sick boxing cards on the island as well.
Bring them over.
Yeah, totally.
R.I.P. Polly. Oh, yeah. Beaten by the goat Artem.
Quality.
With his T-Rex arms. But anyway, as far as I know, it's different because it's they have that all across the Caribbean and everything. They have Mardi Gras. Mm-hmm. And obviously in parts of America as well.
Yeah, I think they are very similar, but I think that's just due to lack of any other ideas.
Look, like trumpets and dead shit. That sounds good fun.
Trumpets and tacos. Let's go mental.
Yeah, that scene in the Bond film. I've completely forgotten which one it was now. The more recent one, wasn't
Daniel
it?
Daniel Craig. I think it was the last one.
Yeah. That was excellent that day.
It was mostly one shot, wasn't it?
Yeah. Like, that
bit,
was brilliant.
Bit of trickery going on, but it was a one shot in inverted commas. It was really cool. It's like,
that was cool, totally.
Yeah, aye, something similar. Better than the rest of the film, anyway.
Aye, something similar to that, but with more like serial killers and horror characters. And Harold Shipman. He's there, isn't he? Is he on our island? Have we brought him yet?
He must be somewhere.
Let me find an excuse. He's a couple.
I'm pretty sure he is. Yeah, our old friend Harold. I guess a really good event, and I think it could work well.
It's nice, bright, colourful. It celebrates what we had before that's now gone forever. Yeah, we can have fireworks and Santa Claus. Fuck it.
Well, speaking of nice, bright, and colourful, I'll talk about my event, which is two words. It might sound a bit much at first, but it's always fun. Monster trucks.
yes. Yeah.
That's it. Sit down. I went to a monster truck thing like once as a kid and it was fucking amazing. Yeah.
You're basically a redneck.
Yeah, pretty much. One of my cousins a good bit older than us, and she was just basically hitting on all the drivers. With us until, can we leave now, cousin? Yeah. No, I'm speaking to the driver. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, doing, you know, crushing cars, going up on the side.
When they jump and things like that, man alive. Monster trucks are excellent fun.
They are very good. And being the island, you might be tempted to think, oh, is it like that film, Monster Trucks, where monster trucks are monsters? No, because that's fucking stupid.
I haven't seen that film. Should
Neither have I. I've seen the trailer. Does not look good.
But yeah, like, honestly, there's only two things in the US that bring, like, they get the hillbillies to spend all their money at once, and it's NASCAR and monster trucks.
NASCAR makes no sense. It's going around in a fucking circle.
Oh, it's so boring.
Oh, my God.
Imagine the crink in the neck you're going to have after driving like that.
I'll never complain about F1 being boring ever again. Yeah. Although, if I was in the States and someone was like, hey, do you want to go watch NASCAR and drink all day? Be like, well, what the fuck,
basically go in a pickup and then spend the whole day just drinking.
Yeah, that sounds not bad, to be fair. Kind of like cricket, what people do at cricket. Yeah. No interest in cricket. Like what I did at the darts. I don't really, not that interested in darts, but I started drinking all day and it was fucking great fun. Yeah. Any event can be improved with drinking all day.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Apart from trying to give up, like, recovering from alcoholism.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, an intervention.
Yeah.
We can make this better. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think on the island, I mean, obviously, there's going to be a Honey Badger themed truck. It'll be a Harold Shipman themed truck. We're pretty sure he's there.
Can I drive the Harold Shipman themed truck? It's an ambulance.
There'll be a Denzel Washington themed truck, which will just constantly change into whatever he wants. So yeah, that's my event. Anybody else got any
events? I'm quite happy to do that. I was thinking about, like, I don't know, this might be the same one as James was going for, so I'll let James decide his one first.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, go for it.
Are you saying that because you don't know yours?
No.
Sorry.
That's something I would do.
Well,
total dick move.
Well, you know me, recently my contributions to the island, I like a little bit of competition. I like to bring in tourism, but I don't want to necessarily have these tourists leave. So, bearing in mind that now Dunfermline...
You're going to have a genocide.
Well, funny. Just a cult.
You will get to do it.
That was my first thought.
Fucking Hunger Games.
Wait, hang on.
You will get to do a shot later at your trial, a party shot, so look forward to that.
So, Mark, you actually touched on what I was going to go for. So,
what's it?
So, we're in the same age where Dunfermline, there's nothing going on. We're about to have a Tory government run by Boris Johnson. Everything's going to shit. And you know what? Surrounding villages, it's now time for them to step up. And I know the perfect place to do it, on the island. So we're going to have on the desert island, the Five Hunger Games.
Which is so on the nose.
So on the nose. It's unreal.
Sponsored by Five Food Bank.
Yeah, collect your crossbow from the local Trussell Trust. Yeah.
Hang on,
Trebuchet.
Yeah,
from the Trussell Trust.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dunfermline Delivers proudly presents to you Five Hunger Games. Yeah, so you know what? It's good to the stage there. It's every man and woman for themselves. So why not just like put around the villages?
It's,
you know,
it's happening on the island anyway. Isn't
yeah,
it?
Like, pretty much.
Everybody on there is totally fucked.
Yeah.
The only problem is we're never going to find a good-looking woman to be Mockingjay, though, are we?
Like, put it this way. Put it this way. Unless you have a microphone for this podcast, you get on this island, but you will not be leaving. How do you think we get here from the back so often?
You'll be leaving in a box. You're going over a monster truck ambulance.
And not all of you together. It's like little bits and pieces. Wow, that got sinister really quick.
That's so much our wheelhouse, James.
Somehow, I just think Philip Schofield will be at the end victorious.
Yeah. Oh, well, speaking of Philip Schofield, he's slowly reaching his final form. Did that stuff about Amanda Holden as well?
Was it Amanda Holden that, or... Was it Amanda Holden? Amanda Holden. What was it?
Pretty much.
I assumed it was Chloe Willoughby or something, but are they not pals?
Holly Willoughby.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Don't you dare speak ill of Holly Willoughby.
He's Amanda Holden her back.
Oh! Yeah, nice.
Yeah, it's like he's decided, like, nothing. You can't do anything. You want to go in this morning? Nah. I'm a celebrity. A job that he's completely not related to in the slightest. Nah, he's not going to do that.
He doesn't want anyone jumping on that floatable UK weather map. Yeah. I know they haven't used it in 15 years. I don't care.
And there's a reason why. Yeah. Yeah, Fred.
I was for DNA.
So
if you step on the Isle of Skye and then jump to Mull, it opens the entrance to the dungeon.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like now, like what I've brought to this island, I've got people, you can come and you can sing for your life, you can run for your life, and now you can fight for the life of many people and likely not survive. Because you got to throw a honey badger in there somehow, you know.
Well, it's cool because on the 2nd of November, we'll celebrate your life.
Yeah, so what you do...
That's what... Yeah.
Right, this is how you do it, right? So Halloween, you have the big Halloween party on the island, so everyone gets together. November 1st is when you do the Hunger Games. November 2nd... Day of the Dead, and you sit, it's like the post show.
That'll work.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that.
Ties in quite nicely.
Monster trucks.
Monster trucks.
Well, that's. Well, we'll just use the graves to go over the.
Whoever.
The giant multiple mass graves.
Oh my God.
from the Hunger Games.
We could also have the monster truck as like a power weapon. So in a central location on the map, and whoever fights, you know, whoever gets a monster truck, I mean, they've almost won already, haven't they?
Yeah. I feel like the sound of a burial mound fun box or whatever.
I'm seeing a honey badger driving monster truck with Schofield on the back with a bow and arrow.
Die, bitches!
Gordon the Gopher in tow.
Yeah, just dragging off the back, rattling around.
Just flapping off the aerial.
Like a windsock.
Yeah, so... Yeah, mine's was pretty dark and disturbing, but I'm sure Mark's is a lot nicer.
I'd like to skip it, because that was a good place to end, I reckon.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
All right, then. So, is there any other business? We'll make it off the island first, I suppose.
I should do the socials.
Yeah, you should.
So, if you want to speak to us, then please do on facebook.com/5clubpod or 5club, Twitter at 5club, Instagram 5club, email ken@5club.co.uk or on www.5club.co.uk or just fucking Google it.
Yeah.
Just fucking Google it.
Yeah. That's such a good way to go about it.
And you just neck your parents' credit card, Google it, and buy some shit.
Yeah. Or just give us money directly. Yeah. That would always help. Yeah. If you see us in the street, you say, here you go, mate. Here's some money for you. I'm not going to ask you for it. But like,
okay.
Yeah, mate, do you listen to the podcast?
I feel like this bit got away from you, Jace.
Yeah. Are you homeless?
Your hosting duties have gone so well up until now, Jace. So well.
I can see why not a lot of people other than Kutch do this, because, my God, it's a place where it corrupts you pretty bad. You know, I've sent people to their death in this podcast today.
Have become a genocidal maniac.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's your fault. Take away all my
head.
Yeah. It's all my positivity. You just sucked it away. You know, I've got to try and. It's like a counterpoint. It's like a seesaw. You know, you've got to balance off at some point. So you took away all the positivity. So all the evils coming out as well.
Well, the feeling's mutual.
Yeah. And yeah. So I guess on that note, then, I suppose it's the time of the night where we ask Dave, what is the motto for this week's podcast?
It's a long motto. I have a poem.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if this is the right time to put it in, but I might just do it anyway.
Do it.
Yeah, do it.
Well, this is a poem that was published by one Mr. Alexander Boris Johnson Esquire, who I believe is quite well known for being an utter...
I think he's technically De Fiffle Johnson. I think his surname is De Fiffle Johnson.
De Fiffle? That's the poshest name.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What a wanker. Anyway... In 2004, he was the editor of The Spectator magazine, and on that year, he published a poem. And that poem was, "The Scotch, what a verminous race. Canny, pushy, chippy, they're all over the place. Battening off us with false bonhomie, polluting our stock, undermining our economy. Down with sandy hair and knobbly knees. Suppress the tartan dwarves and the wee freeze. Ban the kilt, the ski and do and the sporran as provocatively, offensively, foreign. It's time Hadrian's Wall was refortified to pen them in a ghetto on the other side. I would go further. The nation deserves not merely isolation, but comprehensive extermination. We must not flinch from a solution. I await legal prosecution."
Oh.
Boris Johnson.
Popular in Scotland.
What a cunt.
We're allowed to assassinate him, right?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
Come on, Ireland. Yeah.
I mean, that was 50 years ago. Let bygones be bygones, but apart from him.
Yeah. Yeah, well, on that note,
good night.
Good night.
Night. Night. Night.